Acts of Apostles, chapter 20, and I'm going to read verses 17 through 32, and you can remain seated from this, for this reading, because it is the Acts of the Apostle, and we'll continue in Jesus' name. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus, and called the elders of the church, and when they had come to him, he had said unto them, "Ye know, from the first day I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you in all seasons, serving the Lord with humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the laying in the weight of the Jews. And how I kept nothing back that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly from the house to house, testifying to both the Jews and also to the Greeks the repentance towards God and faith towards the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnessed in every city, saying, the bonds and afflictions abide in me. But none of these things move me, neither count my life my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish the course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, testifying the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you the counsel of God. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseer, to feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, and not sparingly flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw the disciples after them. Wherefore, watch and remember, the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and the word of his grace, which is able to build you up, to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. Amen. Let's unite our hearts in a quick word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, this is your word that is before us. We ask by the power of your Spirit that you would not hear from wisdom of men, but rather, Father, sanctify us in the truth, because we know your word is truth. Amen. So Paul is now trying to encourage the church in Ephesus. Paul has spent 3 years in ministry at Ephesus. It's actually quite a bit of time that he spent there, working with these individuals. And now he's actually outside of Ephesus in the town of Miletus. And he sends messengers there. He wants to talk to the elders. He wants to encourage them, but really what he's trying to do is he's trying to warn them. The word of God is important. This is why we bring our children even to confirmation. I said it again, our young adults, but you know what I mean. We bring these young adults here because in reality, we want them to understand how important this word of God is and what representation that it actually brings out into this world. We often make a statement that we are the Bible that the world reads, because they may not step into churches, they may not listen to podcasts, they may not read their scripture, they may be battling themselves. And we have a tendency in our congregations, and it's getting to be ridiculous in some ways, over what translation. I truly, as long as it's the words of Christ, I truly don't care what translation someone reads. I'm just excited that they read, that they get involved. Paul is trying to bring the elders to the understanding of there's trouble. There's trouble happening. He says very plainly when he starts talking to him, he shares with him, he says, listen, you know that when I went there, that I didn't care so much about my life. I wasn't worried about my well-being. My position was to really bring out the word of God. And then he comes to a very bold statement where he says, I'm actually blameless of the blood of other people, because he says, I shared that message. Paul was trying to encourage them. to stay focused in that word, to stay focused within the truth of God's word. And though there would be ones that would come around and they would start, you know, trying to make it look like this or make it look like that or change it in a certain way, he says, hold fast. Hold fast. You're going to receive a lot of advice. Especially, I love it, it's kind of an awkward thing. I was noticing even more this year when we would go to graduation parties, and I did it myself. I'm not making fun of anybody. It's kind of a conversation you say, oh, hi, how are you, to the graduate? How are you? Oh, it's awesome that you graduated. Wow, you really accomplished a lot of things. And what's the next words? Now what? Those poor graduates, they must be sick of answering that question. Now what? And then you go from the point of being a graduate, so you're a senior in high school, and now you're going to be dropped back down to the bottom of the totem pole when you go to college because you become a freshman again. It's a very difficult time, a very influential time for them. And there'll be a lot of those that will come alongside of you even within that environment of college campuses and things, and they will try to question in reality your faith. I can't do that. But the fact of it is, there are some questions that are very good. In other words, there are questions that can make you understand all the more. See, I think sometimes we get afraid of questions. We become afraid of questions because we think it's challenging us, but sometimes challenging isn't so bad. One of the greatest things that I ever had happen to me is I had a question in my life. And the question was, why do we believe in the Trinity? And I remember when I went to an elder and I asked the elder, he made me feel very small. Sometimes when we don't know what to say, we have a tendency to say what we shouldn't. And sometimes Jesse or that elder would have been better off keeping the mouth shut. But the fact of it is, that question drove me. And I bring this up on a day like this because we're dealing with you guys stepping in as members of the congregation. We're also dealing with you guys standing on the threshold of your faith, of what direction you're going to go, because mom and dad, maybe for a year or two more, could drag you by the ear, but we also are saying you're adults. You can make a decision. Because today is Trinity Sunday is why I bring it up. And I remember that being a very vital point in my walk of faith. Why do we believe in the Trinity? And when I was given an answer that was very short, and actually basically the answer I was given was, you just believe, and if you don't believe, you're listening to the devil. I was like, well, now I'm listening to the devil. But I told you guys when we sat down together, I said, whatever you do from here on out, it really is about your relationship between you and God. Not that it hasn't always been before, but now you are stepping out as adults. The one request I made from you, do you remember what I requested from you to continue to do for the rest of your life, no matter what? Pray. Just pray. Talk to your Father. I even said, even if you're having questionings in faith, if you even wonder if you fully understand, try him. Pray. Ask him to reveal himself to you. And I did. I prayed. I prayed that God would make me feel like I'm not listening to the devil. And the man that said this to me was so important to me that that even hurt. But he didn't know what else to say. But God, through those prayers, I believe, started to answer very straightforward. And I remember when I was sitting in a church service one day, and the guy was up there preaching, and he was preaching and preaching and preaching, and all of a sudden he stopped in the middle of the service, and he said, if any of you are wondering about Trinity, here's a great example of Trinity. And he pointed it to it, and it's like God opened the doors for me. And he had a message that had nothing to do with the Trinity. But God desired to answer prayer. So pray. Understand that even every epistle is written by Paul or whatever is written in the aspect of, I continually pray for you. I continually pray in your behalf. Prayer is so important. I don't care if you think I'm a nut job. I don't care if you think that, I don't know anything. Pray. have that relationship with God the Father for yourself. Even in my unbelief, I prayed, asking God to reveal to me if he's real or not. And he answers. Paul is speaking, yes, to the believers, but he's encouraging them to continue to keep track of this word because it's that important. And he says, and I'm blameless in reality. In other words, he's saying, I've done my part. I've done all that I've called myself to. He says, I've served with humility. I've served with tears. I've served in all this capacity that I could do. He says, I never shrank back from proclaiming to you the truth, anything that was profitable. He says, I taught in public. I taught house to house. He was never offended by the word of God, if you could say it that way. He says, I testified to those that were of the old covenant and testified to those of the new covenant. He says, I went to the Jews. I went to the Greeks. I've done all this stuff. He says, and now, he says, behold, I'm going to Jerusalem. He says, I know that God has me on a commission to head to Jerusalem to preach this word. He says, and I'm constrained by the Spirit. In other words, the Spirit is the one holding him there. He says, not knowing what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen in Jerusalem, but I'm willing to go. He had a comfort by God the Father through the power of the Holy Spirit that no matter what, Christ Jesus was with him. That's why I encourage you to pray. That's not just for you guys. It's for all of us. That whatever we may be into, whatever we may be doing, whatever adventures we might be taking on, that we would go into them prayerfully. That we would ask God to bless us, not only in our spiritual life, but even in our earthly life. Whether we're starting a new business venture or we're going to take a trip, that we would pray to God the Father to bless it. It's not a prosperity gospel. We know what that'll get you. It's asking God to be a partaker in your life and to reveal himself. He says, I didn't know what was going to happen to me except that the Holy Spirit testified within me that in every city I will be in trouble. Imprisonment and afflictions will await me. But how could he face that? By Christ Jesus. He says, and I'm not counting my life of a great value. He says, or precious to myself. In other words, selfishly. He says, I'm only to finish my course, he says, my ministry, he says, that I've received from Christ Jesus, and to testify of the good news of the grace of God. He says, now behold, he says, I know that none of you whom I've gone about with proclaiming the kingdom of God will see my face again. He kind of spoke a little too soon here because he ended up going back to Ephesus. But I'm sure it looked dire and dark for him. And I take that even as a positive. Paul is basically saying, I have a commission to do. I'm going to Jerusalem. It's probably going to be the end for me, but I don't care. Well, as long as I'm called to do it and I know the strength of God is with me, I'm going to do it, and I won't see you again. But God even had a bonus because he got to see him again. So he turned around and he says, therefore, I'm testifying to you this day. I'm innocent of all blood. He says, for I didn't shrink with declaring to you the whole counsel of God. He says, pay careful attention. He says, to the whole flock. He's speaking to the elders. Pay attention to them. He says, in which the Holy Spirit, in other words, the Spirit of God, has made you overseers. See, you're not called to the ministry just by your own understanding. It is given as a gift of God. And sometimes I think it's kind of interesting because, first and foremost, sometimes us pastors, our ministers, us ministers, we don't even respect that enough. I'm guilty of it. To understand that what has been given even to me in the position I have is a gift of God. And who questions it daily? Me. But then we also have those outside of it too that don't respect the position of minister of God. Not that you respect Jesse as the person, but at least the title or the position. For all pastors is what I'm trying to say. And what I mean by that is we lose track of the order even of a church. But yet, even as a pastor, what is our position? It's to serve. It's to give. It's not a position of authority where you pound people's heads together or have it your way or the highway. It's not a position of eliteness where you turn around and you fly around in corporate jets and you have gated communities. That's not the pastor's position. The pastor's position is to serve a congregation and to give what he can give. But even he has only limitations. But we have such a skewed view of the church sometimes because we turn around and we hear the politics in the church or we see the business of the church and we forget what our mission is. Remember what Paul says. Listen, make sure you pay attention to the flock, which the Holy Spirit gave you authority over, to serve them. It was brought to my attention one time, and I don't say it to be mean, but it was a good thinking point for me. It was brought to my attention one time in a board meeting where they had asked if I had gone to the convention. And I said, no, I haven't been able to go because of Camp Lefty. And it was said in a joke, so please don't think it was serious, but maybe it was, I don't know. But it was just brought out that, well, maybe your priorities are wrong. And I'm not saying that to beat up on anybody. It made me think. My priorities are not wrong. I was called to serve a church. Just as this Acts of the Apostles tells us that I was allowed by God's grace to be an overseer of a flock. The flock, in this case, has a lot of different branches. But I am here to serve you. That's what I wanted to get across to you young individuals when I was telling you. I don't know what this confirmation is going to mean for you. But I pray that you will understand that I love you. My door is open for you. And if you need anything, I will try my best within my ability to help you. I gave you the example of premarital counseling. Premarital counseling, I would never want to say the word, it's a joke. But it's interesting. Because let's face it, in premarital counseling, we're all in love. We're excited to get married. We'll say anything we got to say just to get this marriage going. And I make that very well known to those that I do premarital counseling with. But I tell them, the one thing I want you to get out of this is, my door is open. When you have difficulty, when you have struggles, I'm here. You might have to text me, because I might be at Lefty in the summertime, but I'm here. And I will drop Lefty for issues. I also wanted to encourage you that you have a whole body of Christ here that has the same feeling, that they're here for you, that the church is here for you. Paul is saying, overseers, you're here for them. You're here for them. And he says, and I want you to pay attention to yourselves, to all the flock of God, which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. He says, to take care of the church of God, which he obtained. And it says in the scripture, which he obtained with his own blood. The Holy Spirit has given you the power to be the overseers of the church, the flock, which God has given you. So there ties the Holy Spirit with God. And it says God purchased it with what? His blood. Can I ask a question? I would love an audible answer. Who died on the cross? Jesus. We argue over Trinity. It says God purchased with his own blood. He was upon that cross. This is a call to all of us. God has blessed us with young individuals that have shown a desire to be partakers. How far they carry it is really up to them. But is it? Is it also up to us to lift one of these individuals, every one of these individuals, in prayer before God the Father, to encourage them, to strengthen them, to give them a hope? God allows us to be overseers. He's given us that power by the Holy Spirit. In other words, we wouldn't do it ourselves, but we'd act in that spirit. And he purchased us with his own blood, being Christ Jesus. What a beautiful text for Trinity. He says, and I know, after my departure, Paul says, I know when I can't be there anymore, there's going to be wolves. There's going to be those that come in and confuse things. There's going to be those that will come in and bring this accusation. You need to guard against that. And now I'm going to bring it back personally to you again. You also need to guard against it. Because you're making a testimony of faith. You're standing firm in your faith. You may not fully understand the whole end story yet. That's okay. Because we all mature in faith. But you need to guard against it. How? Be involved in the Word. I'd love you to continue coming to church. And I have a statement. You don't have to come every Sunday. I'd love it if you did. But come when you can. Don't separate yourselves. But ultimately, pray. Ask God to strengthen you, to reveal to you, to show you direction. Because there's going to be wolves that'll come among you. And they don't want to spare the flock, but rather they want to rip it apart. He says, and actually from out amongst yourselves arise men speaking twisted things. No, we'd never do that, would we? He says, to draw away the disciples after them. We've seen our congregations over time. There's no doubt about it. They've segregated, separated, done all kinds of things. I mean, I did a class on the Laestadius movement. Half the people were like, what is even the Laestadius movement? What's that mean? Well, we deal with the old apostolics, the first apostolics, the plain apostolics. We deal with the Laestadius, the Finnish apostolics. We deal with the SRK. We deal with the Polarites. We go through all of this, and the kids are like deer in the headlights. Like, where is this from? Where is it from? It's from people stirring up the pot within congregations and splintering and splintering and splintering. And then we say, how come no one wants to come to our church? Because we don't want to go to it. It's time for that to end. It's time for that to end. That we are the example of Jesus Christ in this world. And I'm speaking not so much to these guys because they're just stepping out now. I'm speaking to all of us. That we are the example. Jesus says very strongly, actually Paul says very strongly, we are ambassadors of Christ as though God did through us beseech you. Are we examples? If we're not examples, we need to change. We need to read his word, elders. We need to pray, elders. And we need to encourage so that they will see the example. It's not enough just to drop them off at the door. It can help them. But where is our heart? We are the ambassadors of Christ by faith through grace. It is a gift of God that we even have this salvation. He says, there's going to be those that are going to try to rip apart. He says, so be alert. Remember, I was with you for 3 years and I didn't cease to preach the truth. He says, and now I commend you to God. That's where he says, I lift it to God. And brothers and sisters in Christ, and that's who you are. We lift you to God. And we ask God to keep his hand upon you and to encourage you and strengthen you. And I lift all of you before God, asking that we also could be the example of Christ in this world, that not only could they look towards, but then others. Because we know, looking in the media, looking on Facebook, looking on Twitter, wherever it may be, that the image of Christianity has been blurred so much. What a shame. May I never be that blur. May God strengthen me and you to seek that which is true and to love those that are unlovable and to encourage our world around us. He commends us to God, to his word, and his grace, which will build you up to give you an inheritance for each and every one of us. May we receive that inheritance for Jesus' name's sake. Amen. So we're going to go through the altar book, the way it'll work is obviously the confirmants, we've done this before. The confirmants and any of their family that they would like to come forward with them, please feel free. For those that are guests, we are not a closed